FDIC.
This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wachovia, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, your Southeast Toyota dealers, the Parts House, and by Everbank. The appearance of Pete Banaszak is made possible by the Cascades of World Golf Village. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
And we welcome you into the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show following the Jaguars' 42-20 loss in Kansas City. A first half that looks promising. Had the Jaguars down by one. Second half collapse with turnovers and inability to stop the Chiefs. And the Jaguars fall to 3-4 on the year. Let's get you updated on the other scores from games going on around the National Football League. In Washington, or rather in Chicago, Washington has beaten the Bears with less than 2 minutes remaining. An interception return for a touchdown by the Redskins leads to the victory in come-from-behind fashion. They win it in the third quarter. 17-14 the final score as the teams were scoreless in the fourth, and Washington with the win on the road at Chicago today. Also a final in Miami. The Steelers and Dolphins went right down to the wire. Final 2.5 minutes before Jeff Reed booted an 18-yard field goal to give the Steelers a 23-22 victory. Ben Roethlisberger threw two touchdown passes. Chad Henne threw one for the Dolphins, but it was a field goal fest to be sure, with Dan Carpenter booting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 field goals for Miami, and Jeff Reed booting 3, including the game winner, for the Pittsburgh Steelers in a 23-22 Steelers victory. Games going on right now. Baltimore and Buffalo. Baltimore looking to try to avoid being the first victim of Buffalo this year. The Bills have not won, but they have the football with two minutes remaining, and a 34-31 Baltimore lead. Ryan Fitzpatrick has had a big day today, throwing four touchdown passes, including three of them to Lee Evans, but his team trails. They've got the ball fourth down now at their own 12-yard line. We'll keep you updated. San Francisco and Carolina tied at 20 with a minute to play. In that ball game, Carolina looking for their first win, have the football, and in San Francisco territory, trying to line up for what could potentially be a game-winning field goal. Atlanta and Cincinnati's been a bit of a wild one. Cincinnati scored 22 unanswered at one point, but Atlanta has come back and has a Michael Turner touchdown, his second of the ball game. Roddy White's having a huge game today, receiving White with 11 catches, 201 yards, and two touchdowns. And despite Carson Palmer putting up big numbers as well for the Bengals, 400 yards passing and three touchdowns, it's a 39-32 Atlanta lead with a minute 33 remaining in the ball game as those two teams play in the Georgia Dome, and Cincinnati about ready to kick it off after scoring a touchdown. New Orleans taking it on the chin against Cleveland at home. The Saints not getting it done. It's a 30-40 Cleveland lead with a minute 53 to play in that ball game. Tampa Bay has come back to take the lead and going to close things out. Buccaneers with a big second half. They were able to get Josh Freeman touchdown and a couple of field goals and take an 18-17 lead. And that's where we are right now is Tampa Bay is about to kick off after scoring a go-ahead touchdown. Tennessee going on now 2 minutes away from a victory over Philadelphia, leading the Eagles 27-19. Kevin Cobb started that game for the Eagles. Kerry Collins got the call for Tennessee. And those are the games going on right now. The late game's just getting underway. Arizona at Seattle. No score in that one. Oakland at Denver about ready to kick off. Ditto for San Diego hosting New England. All right, those are the scores from the games going on around the National Football League. Of course, here with the Jaguars in Kansas City, a 42-20 Chiefs victory. And Pete Banaszak and Marco Coleman join me here for some post-game analysis. We'll get plenty of action from the locker room here in just a bit. But, guys, the quarterback situation is going to continue to be a conversation. In other words, Pete, where do they go from here? Todd Bauman's injury late, we'll certainly hope to hear something about that. But Bauman, for a guy who was riding a tractor earlier this week, not too shabby.
Yeah, I thought overall the
two mistakes he had, of course, were the two interceptions, and they were critical. But I thought he had a gutty performance and really played well. You know, I've never seen a guy come in and have 3 days' work and play the kind of game that he did. And if I was the head coach, I'd start Bauman next year if next week. Mm-hmm. If he's capable, he's healthy, I would start him and go with him.
Marco, what was the difference first half to second half?
The defense just allowing everything to happen as possible. I think for the Jags right now, the quarterback is the least of their worries. The defense is last in every negative statistic there is for a defense at this
points
point in time.
Points given up, touchdowns.
Everything, touchdowns, whether it be by the run, by the pass. I mean, quarterback's ratings, the long, big plays. They give up big play after big play after big play. They're the best at it. Every offense is looking for the Jaguars' defense to get their big play stats up.
Yeah, it's been a troubling trend here, and you talk about trying to get the defensive backfield handled. I thought we saw some good things from the defensive line, but not enough. They gave up big numbers in the running game, and, you know, just talk about looking at some of the stats from the Chiefs' side. Matt Cassel only threw the ball 18 times.
This was not a time. You can't really say the coverage was bad because it wasn't a lot for them to have to do. It was about stopping the run. Front seven today didn't get enough done.
Yeah, Thomas Jones, 125 yards. Jamal Charles, 71 yards. McCluster had 28 yards running out of the backfield. Had some big plays in terms of the catching the ball with five catches. Maurice Jones-Drew early on looked like he was going to get a little pop going, but just could not get anything sustained with that running game. This was a big game for the Jaguars. If they could have found a way to win, Marco, in the position they were in to come back from last week's game. But now, here we go, another 20-plus point loss for the Jaguars. In all four of their losses, they've lost by at least 20.
Well, it looks like, Tennessee now, they've scored like they may be able to. Now, you fall back possibly two games in your division, which is going to hurt you, you know, here, you know, the way things are going. Unfortunately, they will have an opportunity to play each one of those teams again. But right now, they're making it a tough uphill battle.
All right, so, Pete, where do they go from here?
Well, you got to regroup. We're in a bad, bad position right now because we still got a lot of tough games ahead of us. And just get to the break, I guess, or the bye week would be the best thing. We just have to – I don't know where to start. I mean, I would take everybody on defense except for one guy and call every team in the league and say, anybody want to make any trades, if you could do that. And I don't think he can do that now because the trading deadline's over with. But we've got to find somehow to play some defense. We can't win football games giving up 30, 35 points and 40 points every week. That's nonsense. You can't win the National Football League doing that.
All right, obviously defense is an issue. You're not going to be able to go out and find
among a lot of issues.
Yeah, I mean, you're not be able to find a bunch of help anyway between now and then. We'll talk about that as we continue on here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. For now, let's check in with Jeff Loggeman, who's standing by with the head coach, Jack Del Rio.
All right, thank you, Cole. Jack, obviously, you go on the road against Kansas City Chiefs in their place, and, you know, Todd Bauman, I give him credit, you know, going against a tough Kansas City team, and he held in there tough, and then interception, and, I mean, it was a tight game up until that point.
Yeah, I thought Todd played very well in the situation he was in. We needed him to just come in and be able to manage things. I think he did more than that in the first half, really helped keep us in the game, answered some offensively for us, when we did not get things stopped defensively. And I don't think Todd was a problem in this ball game. I think a lack of basic defensive play, really. Basic football, blocking, tackling, shedding blocks, staying over the top, making tackles. It was very shoddy.
How do you get that defense back on track? You know, for all you're talking about the back end, and then Kansas City ran the ball pretty well against the defense today.
Yeah, they did. I take that very personal, to be honest with you, Jeff. I think run defense is about teaching and about attitude, and I've not had the kind of impact that I'm accustomed to having with this group. To not be able to fit it better, to not be able to play with a more aggressive attitude, a nastier attitude. I take responsibility for that. It's unacceptable. It's embarrassing. And I know what we've got to do, but we're talking about what we need to do, but we're not. It's not getting through. We're not getting it done. And so that responsibility falls on me.
Injury-wise, Evan Britton left the game. Tyson Alualu seemed to be subbing, had a big knee brace on. And then at the end of the game, Todd Bauman appeared to do a finger. What's the injury status of those three guys?
Yeah, I don't know much about Todd at the end. I don't know much about Tyson. I think is okay. Eben is the one that's concerned about. I think Eben had an issue with the shoulder that we'll just need to get an MRI on and see. But it's a concern right now.
All right. Thank you, Jack.
Okay, Joe.
That's the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report, first in the Jaguars Winn-Dixie postgame show, brought to you by our friends at Bubba Burgers, also the Baptist Health Injury Report. We'll take a timeout and return to the new Arrowhead Stadium, where the Jaguars fell 42-20 today to the Kansas City Chiefs, after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the new Arrowhead Stadium, Jaguars postgame, brought to you by Winn-Dixie. We go to the locker room where Jeff Lagerman has Mike Sims-Walker. 338 and a touchdown for Sims-Walker today.
All right, thank you, Brian. And Mike, obviously not the results that you wanted in Kansas City, but talk about the job that Todd Bauman did. I mean, here's a guy that comes in off the tractor basically earlier this week, and shoot, for the most part, early on, he did a great job.
Outstanding job. I told y'all that during the week that he's looked better than I expected, especially for a guy to come just last week sitting on the couch playing with his kids to come out here to start an NFL game. He did outstanding, man. I can't say enough about him.
Where do you go from here? You know, the locker room, hey, it's down. That's kind of what happens. You know, you lost two in a row, and one a loss right after that Monday night game has got to sting.
You know, we just go up. Right now, they ain't nowhere else to go. We're kind of down right now. We just got to pick each other up. Can't point no fingers at nobody. We lost as a team in all three phases. So, you know, we just got to go back and, you know, watch the film, get it out of our system, and go back to work.
Todd, at the end of the game, appeared to jam a finger, whatever it was. Now he's got a finger issue, and obviously Trent had a hand issue, and David, hopefully, you know, will get cleared by the doctors. It's crazy, isn't it?
Quarterback position, playing musical chairs right now. But, just playing. It's cool, man. I'm pretty sure those guys will fight through those injuries and hopefully get back healthy soon.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Yep.
It's Mike Sims-Walker. Jaguars final stats check brought to you by Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. Jaguars got, let me see, 300 yards of total offense today. 84 on the ground, 216 through the air. Maurice was the leading rusher, 16 carries, 47 yards. Leading receiver was Maurice, 5 for 74 yards and a touchdown. Mercedes had 3 for 44. Mike, as we mentioned, 3 for 38 and a touchdown. Zach Miller had 3 for 25. From there, it just kind of rolls down. Here's the real number that we'll talk about. The Jaguars gave up 236 yards on the ground. Thomas Jones had 125 and a touchdown. And Kirk Morrison joins Jeff Lagerman in the locker room.
All right, thank you, Brian. Kirk, you know, not the results you wanted. And it's never easy. As a linebacker, you know, this is defense. You take pride in stopping the run. And Kansas City's a good football team running the football. But you didn't expect the day you had today.
No, we expected them to run the ball a lot. That's just the way they've been, you know, scoring. You know, the run has been setting up the pass for them, and we just didn't. They hit us with a couple big runs today. It sucks because that's something that, you know, we really take pride in as a defense, and to play like that just wasn't a good day for us.
What do you do to get back? You know, get this defense back. You know, the energy level was so high in training camp. You know, hey, we're building, and you know, to get that confidence back that you are going in the right direction.
Yeah, we just get back to the basics, man. I mean, we go back out to work this week, and we figure out where our mistakes were. And we got to go out and just correct those mistakes and go out there and just try to be great. You know, this is an opportunity that we lost out on. But I think the biggest thing is that we have another opportunity next week against another football team who I feel like that's going to be their identity. If they watch the film this week, I see the Dallas Cowboys trying to do the same thing. So you got to get ready and nut it up this week because we know what to expect coming in next week. I definitely know that.
Thank you, Kirk.
No problem.
All right, Loggy, let's go through some of these players of the game. The O'Reilly Auto Parts Offensive Player of the Game, I'm going to vote for Maurice Jones-Drew. 5 catches, 74 yards and a touchdown, 47 yards rushing. Strong performance by him in the loss today.
Yeah, in a tough effort, you know, in a game which, you know, he knew he was going to be facing some some stacked defenses, and he was lowering the head, dropping the boom on some guys. Great second efforts.
All right, that Maurice Drew, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Offensive Player of the Game, and O'Reilly Auto Parts will be making a donation to the Jack Del Rio Foundation in his name. Time for the Jack Cannonier Defensive Player of the Game, brought to you by Jack Cannonier Acura of Orange Park, Audi of Jacksonville, Hyundai of Orange Park, and Volkswagen of Orange Park, all on Blanding Boulevard, just north of I-295. It's tough on a day like today to find a defensive player of the game, but I thought that Aaron Campman played pretty darn well.
Yeah, he had a sack early in the ball game, and then later on in the game had a couple tackles for losses, was involved in every play. But, you know, it is hard after a day like today to pick a defensive player of the game.
Nonetheless, we will give it to Aaron Campman. Buehler Swiss Watch MVP. Logs. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you can question it if you want because of the two interceptions, but I think he threw two touchdown passes that had the Jaguars in the third quarter within a point of Kansas City, and I think it's hard not to give it to Todd Bauman today.
Yeah, great job. From the tractor to the starting job, you know, great job.
Buehler Swiss Watch MVP receives a Buehler Swiss Watch, the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robinson Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park, and Lord & Barron's Jewelers in Tallahassee. Logs. See you on the plane ride home. It's liable to be a quiet one.
Yes, it will be, Brian.
All right. Have a great one. We'll catch you later. That's Jeff Loggeman from the locker room. Let's wrap things up with our Bud play of the game. And, you know, the Jaguars trailed in this one 7-0. And they came back and they marched down the field and they got a field goal. And then the defense gave them a stand. And they came back down the field. And Todd Bauman threw a beautiful touchdown pass to give the Jaguars a 10-7 lead. And we're going to go with that as our Bud play of the game. All right, folks, it's over. We're not going to get this one in, obviously, so you'll have to listen tomorrow night, and we'll see how it goes. Jaguars fall 42-20. You know what? That's just the way it has been the last couple of weeks around these Jaguars. Injuries. They got a lot of things to get up and get going with, and they've got a trip to Dallas next week. So we'll wrap it up from here. Final score, 42-20. Kansas City leads, wins over the Jaguars, 42-20 on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
We continue on here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, now from Jaguars Central, following the Jaguars' 42-20 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. Cole Pepper, Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman. All right, we were touching earlier, guys, on the quarterback position as it stands now for the Jaguars with Todd Bauman. Wonder about his hand or finger, thumb, something there at the end of the game. Looked like he might have hurt it making a tackle on an interception. Boy, this is a locker room that I can tell you both was frustrated, depressed. You tell me how you want to categorize it. But this past week after that Monday night game, somehow they're going to have to find some motivation, some fire, you know, something to get them going. And maybe you can't find that, Pete, until you go out and win a ball game again.
Well, it's hard because I really, other than Aaron Campman, I really don't believe there's any other true leaders. I mean, you know, I played a long time, 13 years. Marco, you played a long time. And certain guys just have leadership ability. And I don't think any of our guys, except maybe for Aaron Campman, I don't know if he can do it alone, because the great teams that rally around each other, and I played on one of those teams that we do anything for each other, you got to have about five or six guys that are the core of
the ringleaders.
Huh? Exactly. They're ringleaders, and there's one in every group, and that just pulls it out of you. Holds everything out of you, you know, and you'll play your guts out every minute, every second for him. We don't have that on this team.
Marco, I haven't seen a lack of effort. I haven't seen guys not trying very much this year. What I've seen is guys not in the right place on defense, guys not tackling on defense, guys not able to get open on offense or not being able to block the other guy on offense, what have you. So the question is, you know, is it a talent issue? Is it a motivation issue? Is it a coaching issue?
And just like Pete said, you got to have a number of guys. And the guys that the team came into this season thinking that we're going to be those guys aren't giving you what you need. Darryl Smith, I think missing a lot of training camp is affecting his ability to be that person alongside of Campman. Rasheem Mathis, you know, has given up plays in certain times where he needs to be the rock in that secondary. If nothing else, shut down the side of the field. He is not doing those things. Kirk Morrison was brought in here to be a spark. He hasn't been consistent, especially against the run. It shows by the numbers as a linebacker. No, these are the guys that are supposed to be those four or five, along with Campman, especially as far as defense, to be able to be the rock to build some stability. And right now, they're not giving that.
I mean, I guess, you know, when you miss so often on first-round picks, as the Jaguars did for so many years, you've got a lot of holes to fill. Because even if you just go 50-50 on your first-round picks, you know, instead of going one out of six, you get three out of six. That means you got a couple of guys who are top-level performers somewhere else. I mean, there's still more work to be done here.
Definitely. You know, a lot of holes to fill specifically in that secondary.
All right. We remind you that if you're tired of defending what you pay for your car insurance, with GEICO, you won't have to. Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO for your free rate quote and see how much you can save. And season ticket holders, when you use your Jaguars Rewards card, when you purchase at least 10 gallons of gate gasoline, you get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. We'll take time out, come back, take a closer look at Todd Bauman and his performance, the Jaguars offense, and what about that offensive line? That's all coming up on the Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars 42-20 loss in Kansas City. We're back after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars 42-20 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. And cool down with a refreshing real fruit smoothie. Available in wild berry or strawberry banana starting at just $2.29. McDonald's. I'm loving it. All right, let's talk about the offense here. And we've talked a lot about the quarterback situation. But let's talk about the offensive line, Marco. Early on, it was clear that the big matchup problem the Jaguars were going to have offensively against the Chiefs' defense was Tamba Ali going against Evan Britton. I know Britton's had a little bit of a shoulder that's been a problem, and it looks like he re-injured it today. That's been an issue. I think in general, I'd like to see more out of both of the second-year offensive tackles. I think both those guys need to take a bigger step forward.
I agree. This Monroe hasn't been doing awfully, you know, too much better himself. Here it is. They had themselves in position on a couple of drives. Offsides penalties or giving up a sack. These are crucial moments where when you have a backup quarterback, you need, again, your starting offensive lineman to help that quarterback out and putting them in taking advantage of good situations and not getting penalties, holding call, you know, penalties or sacks and things of that nature to kill the drives. And they continue to do it. They've been doing it all season long.
During the game, Marco and I were talking about this, Pete, that the tempo of this game, the style of game that this became, was absolutely not the kind of game I was expecting from the Jaguars game plan-wise. I wasn't expecting as much out of Bauman as he gave the Jaguars, but I also wasn't expecting that much of the game would be put in his hands. I really was expecting a grinded-out field position, kind of punted away, and try to keep it close kind of game.
Absolutely. I thought, you know, with Garrard and Trent being out of there, we would probably try to ran the ball down their throats. Mm-hmm. And I really came out looking for a banged out, bruised up, you know, offensive line and just going nose to nose. But Bauman came in and I don't have enough admiration for Bauman that my words can't express. I just thought he was fantastic, just made those two bad decisions. You know, just being active for 3 days was an outstanding performance. I mean, he made two critical mistakes and you know what? Forget about it. Just, you know, you can't dwell on him, and he was under duress.
Yeah, and especially in the second half. I thought that was a big difference, that the Chiefs started to figure some things out about how they were going to attack the Jaguars' offensive line in the second,
exactly,
second half.
And they were getting more pressure in the second half.
And to be honest with you, I think Bauman actually exposed some of our receiving woes in issues. Guys just not holding on to balls knowing how to get themselves in a position to be open to receive passes, where he threw balls where you just got to be a good pro and find a way to make these balls, like Mercedes against the safety in that end zone.
Yep.
I mean, come on, you're 6'6", this guy's 6 foot tall. You got to find some kind of way to shield him, not run away from the ball, but come to the ball to where you can catch
box
it.
Box him out like a basketball player.
I really don't think any blame can be put on Bauman for this game at all. I agree with what Jack Del Rio said. You know, I if any blame be put on it, put it on the defense. I mean, I thought offensively, you know, we played pretty darn good for the most part. Granted, you know, Bauman made a couple critical mistakes, but you know what, it's justifiable when you don't work all week. You know, you don't practice and you're out driving a tractor. You know, you're doing two different things here. But I really think that it was a gutty performance, and we just got whipped. Our defense got slapped around like rag dolls.
And I will also remind everybody, if you missed Jack Del Rio's comment, Eben Britton, his shoulder is going to need an MRI, and Jack's exact quote, it's a concern. So we'll see how that manages things going forward. The Jaguars next week play the Cowboys, then the bye week. So we'll see how things develop between now and then. All right, we'll take time out, come back, talk about that defense in more detail, and talk about Jack Del Rio's role with that defense and some of his comments after the ball game. Jaguars lose in Kansas City, 42-20. Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House, official sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Back with more right after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Following the Jaguars' 42-20 loss to Kansas City, test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Cole Pepper, Pete Banaszek, Marco Coleman. Following the Jaguars' loss today. Okay, defensively, Pete, this was a comment from Jack Del Rio after the game. Quote, I take responsibility. It's embarrassing. We know what to do. We're just not getting that message through. What does that mean to you, that that the message is not getting through, that these guys aren't picking up what the scheme's supposed to be?
Well, they're just not playing the defense that Jack Del Rio expects them to play, and that sure is a hell of a lot better than what they've been showing. I mean, he was a pretty good defensive player himself, and he knows defense. That's his forte. That's his ballywhack. And our defense is our secondary, as I said, is just, it's horrendous. It is the worst secondary. We give up the most yards in the league. They cannot tackle. They can't cover. They let receivers catch balls uncontested and run for yardage. We have more plays. We award more plays to teams over 20 to 25 yards. And you get four or five of them. Their drives down to our goal line are only two or three plays because they get such big chunks of yards. Yep. And that's partly it flows together. The linebackers got to hit some of the receivers. Don't let them off the line. And we got to get to the quarterback. Other than Aaron Kampman putting pressure on, and he can't do it every down, every play, we have no rush on the passer. We play a team that has any kind of quarterbacking ability on that team, they will kill us. They will rip us and shred us apart. And that happens week in and week out, and we can't be giving up 30 points a game. We'll never win a game that way.
Marco, what do you make of Del Rio's very candid comments after the ball game about him basically taking responsibility, stepping up, saying that, you know, that's on me. He's saying that's on me, but then he says, we know what to do. We're not getting the message through. It's sort of
it's coaching.
It's saying it's me, but it's me and somebody else.
It's admirable, but it's obvious. I mean, you know, you look at the defense and the inconsistency since the training camp, the linebacking core, which I think has got to be, it's intricate, and with your leader not being in pretty much all training camp. Then you got Durant in and out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no continuity there. Then you go back to the secondary. You plug in safeties around, you know, each and every week a different group. There's no continuity. Taking Cox out early, that's another disruption in your defensive scheme and personality. For one, they've never been able to establish a personality, and then two, is just too many people, you know, too many different players coming in and out to develop a comfort level and continuity within the scheme as to where everybody should fit.
You played for 141 different coaches in the National Football League.
142.
I forgot. I left a guy out. When you hear a coach say something like this after the ball game to the media, what does that mean for a struggling defense? Does it resonate with guys?
Well, being in some different locker rooms, you have a consensus amongst the majority of the group how they feel about that particular coach. Now, if things aren't going well, and it's a guy that everyone, in the locker room, they love. then yeah, we're going to rally behind coach. And, you know, coach, it's not your fault. This is on us. We got to get it done. But if it's a group of guys who could really care less and the attitude is such they're not really happy with maybe some of the things that are going on defensively, a lot of unhappiness, then you might end up seeing more of the same as the season continues on.
And here's what I'll tell you, and because most of you listening out there do not go into the locker room every week. Last week I sensed a frustrated, depressed locker room on Wednesday especially, with a little bit better feeling on as the week went on, but Wednesday especially, guys were down. I have not sensed that Jack Del Rio has lost the locker room. I've been in locker rooms where the coach has lost them. I don't think that's happening right now. It is a young team, and Pete, sometimes a young team has a different dynamic than a more veteran team, too.
Well, they do, but this is where we go back to the leadership role. We don't have enough guys to step forward and be leaders, you know, because, you know, there's nothing you can do about the past. There's nothing we can do about what happened the last 4 hours. That's done, it's over with, and you got to move on. But what you got to do is take pride in yourself, in your play, you know. You say to yourself, I'm a better player than I have been. I'm going to be a better player, and I'm going to play better next week. And, you know, it's commitment. It's the will to want to win. You know, these guys don't know how to win. If you don't, winning cures everything. I mean, you know what? It gets contagious. You know, I can't explain it other than the fact that there's no greater feeling than winning. You know, and these guys don't know how to win. They don't know how to be leaders, other than Aaron Campman out there. You know, and Aaron is not the overflowing, you know, extrovert personality. Yeah,
he's not Ray Lewis.
Yeah, he's not a Ray Lewis. Does a lot of hollering but he certainly exemplifies it in his play. And you know, if I was sitting in the defensive room watching films, and I watched Aaron Campman every play, I'd say, you know what, I'm embarrassed if I was any other defensive player saying, because he's given 130% and I'm only given 101%. But he's going 130, 140 because nobody tries harder than he does. You know what? And damn it, if you don't want to play, then get your fat rear ends out of here and go play on Buffalo. Go play on, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Go up in Canada and freeze your cahooties off. You know, it's sickening to see these guys the way they play defense. You know, they got to play. And Del Rio knows that. He knows it. And I tell you, there's going to be a fire lit under somebody. There's going to be some red action going around this week in the locker room.
All right, we're going to check our cahooties, take a break, make sure our cahooties are in the right place. Always an important key this time of year. Yeah. More of the Winn-Dixie postgame show, the Sexton Summary. Coming up next, right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman, following the Jaguars 42-20 loss in Kansas City. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. Highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Well, the Jaguars had a pretty good drive going on their first time out, even converting a fourth down on a Todd Bowman sneak, but they couldn't get it going enough, and after a sack on 39 from the 37, lost yardage, they had to punt it away. But Kansas City didn't do much with it. They punt it back to the Jaguars, only to see Mike Thomas on a long return fumble it away to Kansas City. Two plays later, the Chiefs would make the Jaguars pay.
First and goal at the four. Copper in motion to the right side. Here's the handoff, Thomas Jones, and he's got room to the end zone. Check that, that's Jamal Charles. And did he get in? Touchdown, Kansas City.
A four-yard run for Jamal Charles made it 7-0. Jaguars would respond with a nine-play drive that was capped by a Josh Scobie 35-yard field goal. And after forcing Kansas City to punt, the Jaguars got it back. Todd Bowman started to make some plays, finding Zach Potter on a 10-yard connection, then 25 yards to Mercedes Lewis. And on third down from the 18, Bowman went to work again.
All the gaps are filled. Bowman hit as he throws, and he's launching this one for Drew, who's got it for a Jacksonville touchdown! Maurice Drew caught it, and the Jaguars take the lead.
It was 10-7 at that point, 9:38 remaining in the first half. Kansas City came back with the ground game especially, but a couple of key pass plays on their following drive, a 14-play, 73-yard drive. A first down pass to Dwayne Bowe. Dexter McCluster converted on a second down and 13 with an 18-yard hookup. And then first and goal from the one, the Chiefs went to Thomas Jones.
Boyacki in motion. Castle takes the snap, hands it off to Jones, and he leaps into the end zone for a Kansas City touchdown.
It was 14-10 at that point. Jaguars would respond with a 23-yard Josh Scobie field goal before the half, making it 14-13. And all things considered, the Jaguars felt pretty good at that point. Chiefs would open the scoring in the second half, though, and it wouldn't take long. Just two plays and 37 seconds. Dwayne Bowe with a 53-yard catch and run for the score made it 21-13. The Jaguars, though, still hanging around. Todd Bauman, after getting the benefit of a pass interference call on the rookie Eric Berry, had a chance to get the Jaguars to within a point.
Barks out the signals. There's a three-man rush. With time, slings the ball. He's got a man. Touchdown, Mike Sims-Walker! And the Jaguars come roaring right back down the field, and it's 21-19.
21-20 after the extra point. And after forcing Kansas City to punt it away, the Jaguars looked like they would be in good shape to drive down and maybe take the lead with a field goal or even a touchdown. But instead, a touchdown came from the Chiefs' defense.
He's got quick drop, quick throw, and it is intercepted. Derek Johnson's going to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
28-20 at that point. Matt Castle would find Dwayne Bowe to finish off a 10-play, 85-yard drive. And an Eric Berry interception would lead to a Jackie Battle one-yard run. And it was a runaway in the end. 42-20, Kansas City with a victory. That's the Sexton summary. The highlights and lowlights of today's game brought to you by Metro PCS. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We're back with a protector of the game, the coverage of the game, also still to come, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all coming up on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Following the Jaguars 42-20 loss in Kansas City, some other scores to get you updated on quickly. Baltimore able to get it done in overtime. Billy Cundiff's 38-yard field goal with about 5 minutes, 4 minutes or so gone by in overtime. Helps Buffalo stay winless. Baltimore with a 37-34 victory. Carolina gets their first victory of the season, knocking off San Francisco today, 23-20. Boy, you think things are rough in the 49ers locker room. You got Singletary going nuts and the team not winning. I mean, boy, that's just a...
Never would have thought that.
I was on a bad team in San Diego. We went like 4-12, but it didn't...
Didn't have the expectations. San Francisco was picked to win the division.
I mean, San Francisco is the best 1-6 team out there.
And who was your coach at that time?
It was Kevin Gilbride.
Okay, Kevin, not as much of a yeller and screamer as Mike Singletary, for sure. We know that from his days here in Jacksonville. And the other game to get you updated on that are going on right now, Oakland has jumped out to a 24-0 lead in Denver.
Wow.
Jason Campbell starting at quarterback. They've got a touchdown pass, a touchdown run, a field goal, and an interception return for a touchdown.
The Raiders are back.
Well, at least for this week they are, at least for the first quarter. Seattle, a 3-0 lead at home against Arizona, and New England with a 7-3 lead against San Diego. And San Diego, just one of the most inexplicable things you'll ever see. A Chargers receiver made a catch, kind of a lunging catch, went down, dropped the ball on the ground, got up, started celebrating, and nobody had touched him. So... Patriots just scooped it up and went the other way. All right, time now for the protector of the game. It's brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Marco, what do you think about the protector of the game?
Well, Mr. Potler's punted three times, and not once was there a return. Zero returns. I don't know if you want to say that's coverage or just a great job by Mr. Potler.
Let's give that the Baptist Health coverage of the game, Baptist Health Jacksonville Circle of Care. How about the protector of the game, Pete? Who do you like on that offensive line?
Well, there was only one guy flying around, and he's been here the longest and played and started in the most games, Brad Meester.
All right, he wins the protector of the game, brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. We take time out, come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jaguars lose it in Kansas City, 42-20. Back after this timeout on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, following the Jaguars' 42-20 loss in Kansas City, Pete Vanaszak has the good, the bad, and the ugly. Peter, what do you have?
Not much good, Artie. Not much at all, but I did single out the play of Todd Bauman, which I thought was very good, you know, with the exception of the two interceptions. And and those were bad decisions, but really didn't even come into play in the way we got beat up on defense in this game. And I think a guy that's up in Minnesota working on his dad's farm and driving a tractor 3-4 days ago and comes down and did what he did and threw two touchdown passes, and really, other than the two interceptions, was a flawless game. And my it was a gutty performance, and I give him credit. And I think next week that he should be the starter. Bad thing, our defensive secondary, as I said, is atrocious. I'd ship them all out of here if I could. But, you know, they have been consistently bad this year. You know, their play is very erratic. They take bad angles. They give up big plays consistently in every game. And the ugly thing is, you know, wrap it all together in a big package, and that's an entire defense, you know, is in disarray as far as I'm concerned. You can't give up 35 points, you know, and I'll exclude the interception, give up 35 points, and that's what we've been averaging in the last couple of weeks, and win football games. It's ludicrous. It's in chaos. You know, and I don't know where you start right now, but there's one player out there that I think, you know, the other 10 guys on defense should take a look at in the film, and that's watch Aaron Kampman. And you know what? They might learn something.
All right, that is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Next week, the Jaguars are in Dallas to take on the Cowboys in the new stadium there in Texas. In dire need of a victory before the bye week, to be sure. If you're listening in Jacksonville, stick around. We'll take your calls on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show following the Jaguars' 42-20 loss in Kansas City. Thanks for listening to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. If you're leaving us here on the network, we look forward to having you with us for next Sunday's game and also for the Jack Del Rio Show, which airs on most of these same stations, 6 o'clock on Tuesday nights. Stick around. In Jacksonville, we will take your calls at 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. The Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is coming up next with Pete Marco and me, Cole Tepper from Jaguar Central. After the Jaguars' 42-20 loss in Kansas City, the Jaguars now 3-4 on the season with one more game to go before the bye week.